I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are, for the USA, it is 877-270-8714. I'm going to repeat that number. That is toll-free, 877-270-8714. For all our great friends in Canada, the toll-free number is 228-4494. And let me repeat that number once again for Canada. Toll-free, 888-228-4494. Our direct lines, same area code is 530-413-4515 or 530-876-3223. And I just want to say I'm real excited about our guest for this evening. I'm excited because this is how I personally feel about this young man that I am about to introduce to each and every one of you. He is a great pioneer. He has paved the way for each and every one of us, and he's going to share with all of us this evening some amazing epiphanies, not only with his own spiritual growth and understanding, but he will allow us to see through his eyes into other higher dimensions. And our guest for this evening, his name is not only an author, artist, and a musician, it is Timothy Willie. Timothy was born...
Can I stop you? I'm so sorry. Wiley.
Wiley. I apologize. Thank you for the corruption.
Problem. It just embarrasses me when people call me Willie.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Now, Timothy was born in London in 1940 and was trained in England as an architect. Wow. Well, Timothy, I would love to sit down and have a wonderful conversation with you. I moved to America in the mid-60s, and he now lives in the high desert of New Mexico. Timothy has been drawing since he was a child. Let me share his website address right now, because I want to encourage and invite each and every one of you onto his website. This man definitely has an incredible eye for his art and for his music, and that is Timothy. I'm going to spell this for all of you so that way you have the direct link to it, and it is W, Y as in yellow, L as in Leilani, I as in ice, E as in echo, .com. Timothy, working as a graphic designer for some years, had a near-death experience in 1973, which radically changed his life. His reality was suddenly expanded. He became aware of the deeper dimensions of life about which Timothy had no previous idea. As he decided to, he once at that point decided to devote himself to the study of non-human intelligence, angels, dolphins, and extraterrestrials among them, using his visual art, music, and writing as the three main means of communication. And I ask that all our listeners this evening give our guest tonight, Timothy, a warm welcome to the show. Welcome, Timothy.
Well, my goodness, Leilani, what a magnificent introduction, and very overwhelming, and I don't think for one moment I'm going to be able to live up to it. But it was very kind of you. Thank you.
Oh, yes, you will. And before we get any deeper into this show this evening, I have a link up as well, and I invite all of the listeners in Pal Talk to go directly to my show page. You know, when I was doing research on Timothy, as I started to research his website, I says, my gosh, there was nothing I felt that I could omit, or, you know, maybe we can discuss it over the show. So I've got some wonderful artwork that Timothy has done. I've got three of his books featured as well. Just a wealth of information on Timothy. And you can click right on to the link that I have supplied for each and every one of you. So thank you, Timothy, for letting me encourage them to go. And your artwork is amazing to me.
Ooh, thank you. what do you like about it? What touches you?
It has an incredible amount of movement. But what I noticed about the movement, it had this wonderful, magical flow with it, and it almost takes you and draws you right into the picture itself. Now, of course, I saw many other things. You know, I was able to connect with the higher dimensions. I was able to really read the sacred geometry codes, the light codes within your artwork. And I'm sure I'm not telling you anything that you already don't know.
It's just wonderful to have such perceptive viewers. You know, I, of course, as an artist and an architect as well, you know, I do kind of code a lot of information into my work on a fairly subtle level, also in writing as well. But I never quite know whether anybody's ever going to notice it. So thank you so much for that. That's very sweet of you.
Well, and it's really time for people to, you know, that's part of one of the reasons why I'm excited about having you with us tonight. Your artwork is extremely magical. And what I also noticed is, you know, color is one of the highest healing forms today around us. And you display such incredible, intense, but iridescent colors as well. And I found it very healing and soothing, all wrapped up. And then peace was there as well. So I was like, wow, this is really great stuff. I'm going to have to talk to Timothy about, I got to get some of his artwork around me. That incredible.
Well, you just give me your address at the end of the show, and I will be very happy to send you a small print. Very happy.
Oh, bless your heart.
We'll talk about that. You choose one that you'd like.
But I would like to back up for just a moment, if we may, Timothy. Mm-hmm. You've made, you know, you're one of the great pioneers of our time. And, you know, you've paved the way for many, many of us to be able to have the freedom we have today to do our work. It's just amazing where we are today in our world. And I know that in 1973 you had a near-death experience. But within your own words, you know, I'd like for you to share a little bit about that experience and how it became that main thrust in changing your own personal life into the work that you're doing and have been doing for many years.
Yes, it's interesting enough, and I don't make any claims for this, but it kind of happened halfway through my life, you know, that age of 33. And after that point, I'd been, I think, probably more psychically aware than spiritually aware, and in fact, fairly rejecting of a lot of spiritual information, although I was involved at that time in a spiritual community. Which seems a little paradoxical, but I seem to make it work. Anyway, in 1973, I'm not going to doctors. I'm not quite sure what I was suffering from, except it probably was something like walking pneumonia, because my lungs were filled with phlegm and everything. I won't go into all the details, but anyway, the near-death experiences I had experienced took me out of my body. I was actually lying in my bath. I was pretty sure I was, you know, at the end of my tether at that point. and had taken the final bath because I always am a believer in aqua therapy. I like to lie in baths. I think it helps us, our internal organs. And anyway, I was lifted out of my body, Leilani, and went through the most extraordinary series of experiences, including being given the choice as to whether to continue or whether to return. And this was given to me by a being of light. Very wonderful, just absolutely non-judgmental. I wouldn't say didn't care, because, of course, there's an immense sense of caring, but didn't have any judgment as to whether I should continue or whether I should return. And it was just such a wonderful feeling. And it was already such an extraordinary experience that I realized that if I continued, it would just get, you know, I kind of knew it would get more and more wonderful. What I didn't know is what would happen if I went back. That damn curiosity of mine brought me back. And anyway, I was taken through a series of things, which I write about in that first book of mine, Dolphins, ETs, and Angels. And I was taken into a sort of a chamber of some sort and literally healed by little entities that I've come later to understand were probably those little grays that people talk about in their abduction scenarios. And then I was taken on another little trip and then back into my body. And believe it or not, I was healed and really have been healed from then on. But one of the aspects, or at least two of the aspects of the near-death experience was when I had made my decision to return, the whole sky opened up and it was just filled with bank upon bank of angels all singing and boogieing and playing instruments and making the most wonderful music. And then when I was healed, I was taken into this structure by my two guardian angels, which I had not no idea that I had guardian angels, for heaven's sake. And there they were. So that really, as you can quite imagine, blew my mind.
Yes.
And,
well, you know, it's interesting, Timothy, because, you know, of course, we've all, you know, heard others share their own near-death experience, and, you know, we've heard about the light and stuff, and where you captured me with your own experience is you sharing that you were able to see the angels, that you had this wonderful connection experience on that side, and then you brought all of that right here and anchored it right here in the physical, and it and you show that expression through all the work that you actually do.
Well, thank you for that. Yes, I do try to write from personal experience. I'm quite involved in sort of investigating various different cosmologies, but when you investigate, or at least when I investigate a cosmology, I require a kind of reality check, you know, how does it really feel in the deepest place, you know, not some sort of gut feeling, but a real feeling in the heart, you know, is this aligned with the higher attributes that we're all moving towards, you know, the truth and the beauty and the goodness that we all aspire to, you know, if it's not aligned with that, then it really isn't worth very much, you know.
Yes. Now, when it comes to your music, Timothy, have you taken the music that you heard through that experience and brought it or captured it as close as you possibly could? Because I know when I've heard the angel music here in the physical, you know, I have found it to be a bit of a challenge to mimic that same vibration of their music because it's just beyond, and you know what I'm saying, don't you?
Of course, I know exactly what you're saying. No, I have never tried to do that. I wouldn't dare. But what I did do is that I cut free from what I thought of as Western music in the early 70s, and I retuned my guitar. And just played. I started playing with the birds and playing with the trees, going into on the beaches and playing with the waves and really listening to nature and playing with nature and evolved a kind of musical form that I'm able to play with other people in a sense of entirely spontaneous. So by just listening to each other in the way perhaps jazz people do, listening and just moving in and out in the way that the sounds of nature move in and out, but come from a totally spontaneous place and dedicated, you know, put have a little spiritual dedication before you move into the And I found that, although, of course, it's not angelic music, it has the kind of a vibe of spontaneity and naturalness. And when it gets in a groove, it's absolutely fabulous. You just feel, everybody feels like they've been played by the same hand. It's the most wonderful feeling. So this is
yeah, but you don't have me fooled, Timothy, because your music, you've embedded the light codes in that as well. And the sacred geometry vibrations. And what's really interesting is when you listen to the music, because, you know, we have a lot of listeners tonight that have, not only can they hear, but they have sight as well. I mean, you can see the musical notes, you can see the color vibrations of each of those notes.
Interesting, yeah.
But again, I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
Well, I think you're probably more visually acute than I am, Leilani. I don't see stuff so much. I'm pretty sensitive on a feeling level, and I've got a kind of an idea that it's really quite good not to see too much. You know, our brain is so preoccupied with sight. You know, 60-70% of your brain is involved with vision, you know, on a purely sort of material level. And if we, you know, as you know, if you shut your eyes when you're tasting something, the taste buds become, you know, 70-80% more effective, you know, because the brain doesn't have to deal with all that vision. So my sense is that, you know, by focusing more on the feeling, and I think that's the way I try to introduce people to their angels, is to focus on the feeling. You know, and I'm not talking, you know, I get a little anxious at this point because of this, you know, Mr. Bush and his idea of going from the feeling, you know, and of course the awful mistakes he's made.
But he doesn't know what he's saying.
It's what?
Weren't you referring to Bush?
Our president, yes, the burning bush, yeah.
Yes. I don't know if the man actually feels or not, and I probably shouldn't say things like that. Because it took me years, you know, because we had been so used to not feeling. Even though we thought we were feeling in our lives, we weren't, and we're learning to do that now.
What a good point, absolutely. And I think it's, you know, because feelings, you know, are dealing with the emotional body. And once we get rid of the sort of the grosser feelings, you know, we can move through to the more subtle feelings. And it's within the subtle feeling band that we're able to make intuitive contact with the angels. They don't really want to come into the grosser material level of our emotions, you know, the fears and the horrors and all that sort of stuff. They don't really deal with that. Thank you very much.
Yes, yes. One of our listeners this evening says, oh, my goodness, Timothy's art is so amazing. I love his art, and I adore him.
Oh, how wonderful.
I wanted to share that with you. We've got a room full of listeners tonight in Pal Talk. Hi, everybody. It's always an honor to be with all of you and to all our listeners of BBSRadio.com. It's interesting, if I may share this with my listeners this evening. Timothy says, I use my artwork to explore the boundaries of conscious thought to probe that point at which the personal mind becomes the higher mind. I see my pieces as portals into other realms and dimensions, as windows into worlds that are imbued with spiritual meaning.
Gosh, did I write
even
that?
Yes. Even your words have music to them.
Well, it comes from the heart. That's all I can say. It comes from the heart.
Isn't it really amazing when we operate from that, from our hearts? We can move mountains, can't we, Timothy?
Well, I think so. Absolutely. And I think there's a wisdom in the heart. I mean, this may be somewhat cliched as well, but there's a wisdom in the heart that isn't available through head. It's available through the intuition, through the inner tuition, the inner learning, the God that dwells within us. You know, if we can make contact with that, then goodness me, all our problems are over, really.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I'd like to talk about you know, your dolphin experiences, the extraterrestrials, and let's get in a little dive in deeper about the angels. But let's go back to the dolphins here first. I'm fascinated over dolphins. I have a lot of respect for them, and you've experienced, you know, that wonderful personal connection with them that I'm only looking forward to, and I will do that here in the near future. But, you know, I'd like to know that whole experience, if you would share that with us.
Yes. I think the I don't think I can impart the actual experience, because it's one of those things that one needs to really do and not just think about. I've often felt that if one had the opportunity to look into a dolphin's eye, that you understand that this is an intelligent being looking back at you as intensely and as interestedly and as complexly as you're looking at it. In no way similar to a cat or a dog or a chimpanzee. A different quality of attention, of intelligence entirely. So, given that, you know, the mystery of the fact that we share a planet with another intelligent species is, to me, in a sense, a kind of divinely ironic opening us up to the reality of an inhabited multiverse. That just as life on this planet seeks every niche it can find, so also life in the universe has sought every niche, whether it's transpersonal or whether it's on the material, whether it's extraterrestrial or whether it's celestial. The universe is absolutely teeming with life. And on this planet, if we could but see it, of course, life surrounds us, not only on the sort of the vegetable level, and the guardians of that level, the nature spirits, but also on the angelic level. There are probably more angels on this planet than there are human beings, for goodness sake. And yet we have no idea of all this. It's just a wonderful mystery. And it leers us on, and those of us who are curious and inquisitive, it leers us on into deeper and deeper into this mystery. Now, there are wonderful crop circles, for instance. They're still not, you know, I was just reading somebody today. We're saying, no, you know, of course, we're still not able to have, we're near understanding how these things occur.
Yes. Yes, it really, really is. And, you know, I know it's this way for you, as I know as it is for myself, but, you know, there's times when I'll sit out on a bench and just look at the sky and say, wow, what a great, great place that we live.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we would take 5 minutes every day just to soak up the beauty of the sky or a tree or a beautiful flower or a butterfly flying, or just to listen to a bird singing away, you really start to understand way deep down in the core of your own being how fortunate we truly are to be here.
Yeah. Yes, it would certainly help help us all to go deeper. I think there's a very there's a fundamental issue that we face on this planet, I think, and it's to do with a paradox. Really, we look into the world, we look out into the world, we look at our television sets, and we see absolute chaos, devastation, injustice, horrible things happening all over the place. And yet, when we tune in, you know, I speak personally, when I tune in to my inner understanding, my inner tuition, I hear that it actually all is well, that there is a fundamental understanding, a fundamental intelligence, a fundamental plan behind all this apparent chaos. And this, I think, is to do with faith. Faith in the absolute and ultimate goodness of a creator and the paradoxical situation we find ourselves in which we are actually experiencing the consequences and the outworkings of generations of misunderstanding and ignorance and darkness. And we're moving now inexorably into a new era. It's painful. It's like a birth process. A lot of the corruption that has been baked into the human mind, the global mind, the individual psychology of our species for the last 200,000 years has to come out like the boils on the surface of a physical body need to be expressed in order to draw the poison out of the system. And that's what we're going through at the moment, and that's why it looks so devastating. And that's why we need corrupt people often in charge in order to draw the corruption out. And they're doing their best. They're doing a fine job.
You know, Timothy, I'm glad you said that because it's really interesting, and you've probably picked this up intuitively about myself. But, you know, it's really interesting because in the past 2 weeks, you know, I've had to pack, I've moved, I've been staying in the hotel. Of course, you know, to get my stuff moved into another place. But it's interesting because through this journey, it was so important to stay in the now.
Yes.
And I found myself only able to really, and only desire to focus on the very moment that was being presented to me. Now that said, what I'm also realizing is that, you know, my foundation of pure faith. You know, we talk about it, we can say the word, but do we really understand in the depth of ourselves what that faith, the word faith, means?
It's a very good point, Leilani. The way I look at faith is that I see it as a spiritual muscle. And you can let the muscle, you know, kind of go if you don't exercise it, or you can exercise it, you know. And by looking at the world and seeing the good in it, seeing the good through the horror, in that way one can work that muscle until such a point that you can see the goodness in everything. And that, and you know what is interesting is that the goodness is rising up as the darkness is fading. And
yes. As
the darkness fades, it gives us more room to actually expand the goodness into that space left by the darkness. So in fact, you know, we're at a point where we can exercise this faith muscle and exercise the aspiration to good action and good thought much more actively now than we could even 20 or 30 years ago. Do you remember when we all thought we were going to get bombed? We all thought we were going to get blown up? Now we don't feel that. Well, times have changed a bit on that one, of course.
Yes, and you know, it's so interesting too, Timothy, because for the first time in my life, I cannot see what's in front of me. And you're so right, you know, the lower forces are leaving. We're cleansing. We're doing a lot of balancing, a lot of different levels that we're balancing out. A lot of healing going on.
There's a trick to this which is very interesting because, obviously, you know, we live in a dual system. There's no way we're going to be able to get rid of, you know, negativity or get rid of the dark side of things. You know, what we can do is we can learn to include it. We can learn to include it in our imaginations. We don't have to act out things. We can include them in our imaginations, in our novels, in our films, you know, in our artwork. In that way, I mean, I remember in 1984 I did a piece of art which took me a year to do. And what I did is I decided that I would take on the spirit of the Third World War, which had been predicted, for instance, by George Orwell in 1984 and things. And I took all that energy, you know, the atomic bombs and the explosions and the horror, and I just slapped it all onto, you know, a piece of artwork, and tried in that way to transmutate it, you know, to make it into something beautiful, to extract the beauty out of it, without having to blow people up to do it.
Yes, I agree with you. It's interesting. Okay, so I've got a question I must ask you because my own angels are bearing down on me. They would like for me to ask you, when is your new book coming out?
Ah, well, a number of things are happening simultaneously, as a matter of fact. My book, The Heliang's Proposition, which is my sort of magnum opus, if that doesn't sound too pompous, I've been working on it for the last 25 years, and it's now finished and at a publisher, and he's looking at it, perhaps with the hope of coming out in a year or two. So,
okay, now this is, I'm going to have to share this with you too, Timothy, because they're saying the time is now. You got to love them.
Oh, share that with my publisher.
I would actually like to share with our listeners this evening, and most of you already probably have this book. I know I've owned it from hot off the press. I went and rushed out and bought this book right away, and it's called Ask Your Angels. And Timothy joined up with two other wonderful authors. And if I had thought about it, I should have invited them as well onto the show with Timothy. But he's also written two other books called Dolphins, ETs, and Angels, Adventures Among Spiritual Intelligence. And so I know already, even just by owning the book Ask Your Angels, that you've had a lot of your own personal experiences in these other two books that you have written as well. Is that correct, Timothy?
Yes, I mean, I think that's why I was required to do that book, because the angels wanted people who came from personal experiences, as opposed to come from academe or you come from a more sort of pseudoscientific approach. They wanted people who'd had personal experiences. Who were relatively intelligent enough to not be too sort of fanatic about them, you know. And Alma actually had not met her angel until I was able to introduce her to this one particular angel that she worked with. Andrew Raymer had been working with his angels since he was quite young. So it was an interesting spread, you know, of one person who had known the angels a long time, another person who had had this extraordinary dramatic experience in which, the angels had sort of appeared, and then the other person who was relatively new to the angels. And we were able to sort of, through that, develop something that allowed a lot of people to identify, and it was, I think, helpful to a lot of people. It certainly sold a lot of books, for sure.
Yes. What would you share with all of our listeners tonight, especially where we're at today with all the wonderful shifts that we've been going through, all the ascension process as well? What are some of the areas that you feel would be important for all our listeners to either be aware of at this time or to exercise within their own lives?
Well, I have to come back to the Ask Your Angels book, because the sense that we got when we were writing it and trying to get across in the examples and the exercises and the meditations was that if a person is able to make good and close contact with their companion angels, then they things will be taken care of, in a sense. They'll be in the right place at the right time. You know, if something has to blow up in order to, you know, create a lesson for something or other, you know, then they won't be in that situation. They'll be in the right place at the right time. And if they stay with that, more and more of the angelic reality will start to be fed through them, because their higher inclinations will become more and more aligned with the higher intentions. And when the higher intentions are aligned, the angels can manifest what the patterns that are required by the divine plan through us. We become the hands of the angels at that point, because they're not being physical. Well, in our physical reality, they are not able to interact directly with this reality. They can only interact through us.
Yes. That's wonderful, wonderful advice. And always remember, too, to all my listeners, is love is always the key. Your heart will never, ever lie to you. It's one of your strongest allies in guiding your steps, along with the wonderful angels to walk the path with you as well. You know, it's really interesting, Timothy, because after I got into the hotel room, you know, I was all tired and ready to take a shower and everything, and after all that was said and done, I sat on the floor and I started praying to our beloved Creator. And I just needed comfort at the time, because, you know, it's really interesting. Lately I've been feeling like I've been walking with a blindfolder on.
Right.
And in one sense, it's a very exciting experience. And another sense is it's really teaching me just to let go of everything. And the big word that comes to mind is trust.
Absolutely. That's wonderful to hear you say that, Leilani, because my sense is that the more insecure the world looks, the more the homeland security and everything trying to make us secure. In fact, all that's really happening is that it's pushing us to find the security inside our own hearts, to find the security of our intimate relationship with our Creator. That is really the only security we truly have. And I think that a lot of the world is moving us towards that very fundamental realization. So it was wonderful to hear you say that. The heart does not lie.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, of course, you know, when I sat on the floor and was doing my prayers and asking my own guardian angel to be around me and so forth, it was really interesting because I could just feel all this wonderful love coming from the Creator. And it just expanded in my hotel room, and I could see my own guardian angels popping in, you know, and this overwhelming of peace.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody knew how to do that? Wouldn't it be wonderful?
Yeah.
If everybody knew how to do that at the end of the day, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes, it would, Timothy. I'm going to, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask my technician to turn up the volume on you. If you could do that, Seth, I would sure appreciate it. So all the listeners can hear Timothy. He has such wonderful information to share with all of you. And I really want to thank all the listeners. We've got more comments as well, Timothy, to share with you. I have another listener that says, great show. So it's wonderful to see all the great feedback.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. No, the honor is mine. No, give me just a second, Timothy. No, I'm not breaking up. What I need you to do is just to bring up the volume a little bit more on Timothy.
Let me do this. I can switch phones very easily, and I'm using a portable. Hang on a second.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, how is that?
Oh, much better.
Oh, there you go. The battery must be going on my
way. You know what's wonderful? Oh, another listener says, awesome show.
Oh, lovely. Good.
Yes, yes. Everything's fine.
What it was, you know, in the same way as I asked you earlier, what is it that is awesome, for instance? What is touching about what we're talking about? What is helpful to people? That would be helpful to me to know that. And I can write about it like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to ask the listener tonight in the Pal Talk Room, Wei Shore, if you would answer that question, I would really appreciate it. And then we're going to, I'm going to ask you to read the, your reply back on air for everyone to listen. And I just want to thank all our listeners this evening, because this is your sacred time. This is your sacred space. My desire is to bring the highest possible information that will enhance your own spiritual journey, or that you may leave this evening's broadcast with feelings of empowerment, wisdom. As long as you just take even just a small portion that will help you in your own journey, I feel really great. My heart explodes with joy, excitement, not only for myself, but for you as well. While we're waiting for Wei Shore to, I'd like your approach to speak in French. Oh, this is KD, says, I like your approach of speaking from experience without being perceived as someone overcome with religious fanatics. Thank you, KD. That is very, very nice for you to share with us. I'm getting so much of it, Timothy, on my end. IN says it is a wonderful to learn the experiences that you are sharing here tonight with all of us.
Good, good, good. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Bertha.
Yeah, I have, you know, Timothy, I just love all my listeners. I take the time out to get to know them all. A lot of them, you know, have been with me for the past 3 years in broadcasting. And, you know, I've gotten to know their husbands and their children and so forth. And I'm a very firm believer on we the people, the voice of the people. And it's just really nice, and I do know the show has been extremely blessed with great, great guests on the shows. I've been really blessed with that.
Well, good. You do a marvelous job.
Oh, thank you. Lucky says, hello, Timothy. I'm also a writer as well and a songwriter. Yes, Danny, I'll put the website up as well for Timothy, but I also would like to invite you as well to click up on where I have the link directly to my show page. I encourage and invite, thank you, Lucky Wish, for putting up Timothy's website up there. But I do invite all of you to visit my show page. I have just a wealth of information about Timothy and the great works that he does. Wei Shower says that Timothy, he says, the truth rings true with you. Wow. Now that is huge, Timothy.
Well, that's a wonderful thing to observe, because it's my sense always about the truth, of course, is we know it. We always know the truth. That's why when somebody says something that is truthful, we often say, oh, yeah, I know that. But,
and KD also would like to share with you again, as I resonate with your statement about people being able to have direct contact with, as you perceive them, their angels.
Yes, exactly.
So,
and you know, it's a time, if I may interrupt for a moment, it's a time that the angels themselves are expressing that they want to make closer contact with us. They've been very much in the background over the last, you know, a couple of thousand years, emerging every once in a while, you know. What we've been told is this is the third wave of their emergence, and they're really open to anybody who has a sincere desire, an open heart, and an open mind to contact and communicate with them. It's their love and their desire. And the idea that they want to speak to us is just such a profound, you know, it's a wonderful gift.
Yes, it is, isn't it, Timothy? KD also says, if you were looking for a topic material for a new book, how about how to? Lucky Wish says, ask Timothy, does he read clouds and see angels in the sky as well? So I thought I would share that.
He has two questions there. The how-to actually was the Ask Your Angels book, because that is read, that, you know, the subtitle is How to Make Contact with the Celestial Messengers. So that was the how-to book. Clouds, yes, and not just angels in clouds. I've always thought of the clouds as the canvas of a group of angels that the Urantia book calls the Midway Angels, who exist midway between the celestial realms and the mortal realms. And they do, they can affect consensus reality. And I have often thought that to the perceptive eye, that they might well use clouds as their palette and sensor.
They do, don't they?
I'm sure they do. I see. I mean, we've all seen the most extraordinary things in clouds. No, well, yeah.
I, matter of fact, one of my hobbies is I love to take pictures. It's something I've always enjoyed doing. And so I started capturing a lot of faces in the clouds. I mean, very distinct faces where you can actually see the eyes, the eyelashes, the eyebrows, the nose with the nostrils, and their mouths and their long flowing hair. Or, you know, even down to Native Americans where I've had. And, I mean, these are actual pictures you can see. There's no one on this planet that could actually deny that I haven't captured these things. And so I was on a road trip with my mom. I was bringing her here to Arizona from Portland, Oregon. And along my way, I was taking pictures. And out of the blue, Timothy, this huge heart in perfect shape, it was a cloud, but it was in perfect shape of a heart, floated down right in front of my windshield and traveled with the vehicle as we were going down the freeway. Now, isn't that incredible?
Absolutely. It defies the laws of nature.
It does, doesn't it?
But, you know, I mean, that's what they do. No, that's a lovely story.
Let me ask you this, because I'm hearing this as well, because, you know, I know that you not only have been a graphic designer, but you also have a lot of experience in your architect work as well. Now, I'm feeling very strongly that you're going to be doing a lot of that type of work in the very near future. Were you planning on designing a lot of these new let's say dome homes, or the way our new buildings will look like in our near future?
Oh, Leilani, you have opened up a terrible barrel of monkeys there, I'm afraid. I know, I think of myself as a lapsed architect, to tell you the truth. I'd be absolutely horrified to actually have to get into architecture. I built a house that I designed and built myself, and that put an end to my architectural career. Going to do that again. But what I love to do, of course, is to take a let me give you an example. The Verdans, I don't know if you came across them, but they were an extraterrestrial group that Phil Krapp wrote about in The Contact at the time. They had the idea of coming here and doing a little bit of colonization, I suspect. And they had promised to build a city in the American Southwest in which they would, it would be like a diplomatic center in which, extraterrestrials could, converse together. Anyway, they pulled out. They got chicken feet, very wisely, too, and thought that we were too belligerent to get their hands dirty with. So they pulled out. And I thought, well, that's a shame. Why don't I design that city for them? So I sat down with my pencils and started to find it.
Well, Timothy, guess what? Leilani is going to do that in the very near future, and I will not be afraid. Nope, they will not. I will not be afraid one bit to build one of the world's largest healing centers, And it's interesting because I've had this vision since I've been 3 years old, just a little thing. And, you know, I saw a landing pad up on the roof, so to speak, of the healing center. Isn't that interesting?
Well, it certainly is. Well, my dear, you know, if at any point in the future you need to have any input, I'd be delighted to help. Yeah, of course.
Oh, bless your heart. I just felt that because you have, you know, it's interesting. It has something to do with the light codes and the harmony between, you know, with our land and with our animals and so forth. But we have a caller, so if you'll just bear with me, I'd like to welcome our caller to the show live. Are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. This is Lucky Wish, everyone. Hi.
Well, welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from, honey?
This is Penny. This is Lucky Wish on Pal Talk.
Oh, Lucky. Well, did you have a question?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the angels in the sky. Because I can read clouds. Are you there?
Wonderful.
And so I wanted to share it with you.
Well, thank you.
Please do.
Okay. Well, every time I'm outside, right, I go outside a lot, and when I'm outside, I can see angels in the sky. Well, one time me and Ed went fishing, and while we were fishing, I speak to my angels out loud. I said, wouldn't it be nice to get a big fish? And then I say, say thank you and please, you know what I mean. And then the angels would appear in the sky, and this angel would follow me home. And lately, the same angel has been coming to me a lot.
Good. Good. Does your angel have a name?
I just call her Angel right now.
Right. And do you talk to the angel?
Huh?
Do you talk to your angel?
Yes, I talk to my angel a lot.
Good. And your angel talks to you?
Yes, and my angel can communicate with me through letters in the sky.
Wonderful. Good. Well, continue to do
that. Isn't that interesting?
Say that again?
I'm going to go outside while I talk to you so I don't see the screen.
Yes, it is, yeah. Lucky. I mean, that's a wonderful experience. You know, to be able to observe your angel sending you different letters in the sky. You know, I feel very strongly that even guides a lot of your music writing as well. And so, you know, it's a wonderful bond to have.
And I just wrote a new song. It's called God Bless